This podcast is brought to you by the Specialty Produce Network.
As San Diego's largest food hub and home of the Specialty Produce app, we provide a unique shopping experience for our guests. You'll be shopping from the same quality of products that San Diego's best chefs use every day. We are open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., so grab your jacket and your best foodie friend and come and see us.
Welcome to Conscious Living here at the Specialty Produce Network. We are so glad you're here to support your lifestyle with the fastest growing resource for conscious families. So sit back, relax, connect, and enjoy. Welcome, everyone. We are so very excited you are here today to join us with Dr. Joe Delaney from the United Kingdom, UK for short. He and I are here to really share with you, go into the deeper depths of the heartful mind. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
Thanks very much, Ashley. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you. It is so amazing to see you and really share this moment of joy with you. And really, from the heartful mind, what was your idea about sharing this concept to the world?
Well, let me go back a few years, many years ago, after years and years of stress and anxiety and depression, I had what's called a nervous breakdown, you know, and actually I didn't even know I was on the way to a nervous breakdown, but all the people around me could see it clearly. But I was in a state of what's called denial. And the thing about denial is those around you can see it, but you can't see it yourself, you know. So I was on this sort of, roller coaster treadmill of trying to keep up with my job, trying to keep up with the paperwork, trying to keep up with looking after people and all that sort of thing. And in the end, it just became too much for me. You know, I was filled with tension, filled with negativity and all those sort of things, you know, and in the end, I just fell apart, basically. And while I was in the psychiatric department, because that's where I went to, and I was in there for quite a long time, I learned about something called mindfulness. And so it's many, many years ago. And that really started the road, me on the road to recovery. And over that time, what I've done is the more I've got deeper into mindfulness, the more I realize how many, many people just push themselves on and drive themselves forward without taking care of themselves properly. And so I've gone through the experience, come out the other end. And what I've done is I've also done a PhD on this very subject where I measured many, many ECGs. You know, in the States, that's called EKGs. I measured many EKGs of people who were under stress and people who were in good mood state as well, and completely noticed the difference between how their heart responds. So I'm sort of an expert on this through experience, but also I've done a PhD and many, many years of study on it. And I've come to realize that mindfulness really has got little to do with the mind, except emptying the mind and focusing on a positive feeling. And what I try and do now is I try and promote the joy of living and just trying to tune in to a positive, open, flowing feeling. Because what seems to happen is if you can get back into this open, flowing feeling, your mind opens up, it creates more space, more positive, healthy attitudes come in, and you make better choices. There we are in a nutshell. That's what it's about, really. Through my personal experience and through my research, I've come across some very simple, straightforward, practical techniques that can be used by children and adults to help them to remain emotionally calm and think in a clearer, more healthy way.
That is so beautifully shared and said. It's a remarkable story, and what a journey, because, you know, I think everyone on the planet experiences this on one level or another. And it could go to a significant series where we actually break down and actually really choose to make a choice. And many of us, though, really kind of plod on, right, through this despair, through this demise of our own beingness, right? Spiritual, mental, emotional, physical. Because we keep trying and trying and trying to accomplish things we feel we have difficulty accomplishing, or success, or happiness and joy. And we constantly are chasing that. And so we live decades throughout our lives trying to find that in that state of denial, not knowing that we're working so hard accomplishing or feeling, right, that heartfelt feeling joy and happiness in our lives naturally and organically without having to make it happen. So would you share with us just a few insights or ideas about what you're creating and what you're sharing with the world for parents and children about how to create that mindfulness and connecting the heart to the brain, right? And being this whole being rather than this segregated areas of our lives.
Certainly. I mean, I've developed a program, if you like, or a technique. It's called the I Am technique. And in spiritual terms, the I Am is the core or the essential being of the individual. And I think, unfortunately, in the way that we've been brought up, right from an early age, we've been misdirected away from who we truly are. And we've sort of been guided into how other people think we should behave. You know, and this causes a separation and a split, really. And we can lose our vitality and we can lose our purpose for being. So the I Am technique is a way to help people to stop looking outwards and being distracted and to almost turn their eyes and look inwards to find out who they really are. You know, so the I Am is I am. This is who I really am. You know, so I help people, first of all, to understand that maybe, you know, they're not living the life that they would have chosen for themselves. And we all get conditioned into maybe other people's views early on in childhood, mostly for good intentioned reasons. And just because we tend to do what our mums and dads before us did and what their mums and dads before, you know, so we fall into this sort of pattern where we just keep repeating the same old mistakes over and over. So the first thing, and this is what I learned about myself, is that most of my life really was dictated to other people's beliefs and attitudes. And I, rather than upset them, I would fall in line with what they wanted me to do rather than what I felt at depth I wanted to do myself. So there's, you know, it's quite a deep thing that I've realized this, but I'd just like to say that something I read about children and bringing kids up, you know, I read a poem once, it was called The Prophet. And in The Prophet, it says, "Your children are not your children. They come through you, not from you." You know, and it made me really, really sad, because I see that most parents, you know, and this is not a criticism, it's just an understanding I've come to. Most parents guide their children in the direction of not making the same mistakes that they made. So it's almost as if, it's good intentioned, it's almost as if they misdirect their children away so that they don't make the same mistakes that they made. And that's the separation that causes most of the trouble, I think. Is this making some sort of sense?
Oh, it's beautiful. Absolutely.
Because I don't like, you know, just by all means, jump in and say, shut up, Joe, you've gone off track. You know, I don't.
No, so, I mean, you brought up a valuable point about how especially when we have rather divergent issues in our family structure. And so when a parent or two parents are having really a struggling time, the children grow up with this idea that I'm not going to do that to my children. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And when we grow up spiting what happened with our parents and wanting to choose a different lifestyle, we end up missing some of those golden nuggets of coming together and repairing what might be spiteful in the process. So in our families, while they're active even right now, whether we're the child or the parent, we can all contribute equally to the opportunity of balancing the relationships inside the family.
Absolutely, Ashley. And the I am approach that I'm talking about, and I've sort of developed this for many years, is it really, it's about helping children to focus on what's strong in them and not what's wrong with them. Because what we tend to do is we tend to work on what people are weak on, and we disregard their strengths, which are natural in them and innate, you know, and innate means born with. So when you've actually born with a particular skill or talent or ability, it comes naturally. You don't need to learn it. You don't need to think about it. My feeling is that you just need to express it, because that is the core of who you really are. But what tends to happen is, because we focus on what's called a deficit model or a negative model, we really force kids and force people into trying to become good at something that they're not naturally inclined towards, you see.
Exactly.
And that disempowers them. It devitalizes them. It takes away their purpose for being. And it really puts them into this sort of boring, humdrum existence, right? And I'm going to say this, you know, and that's how I see most people are. How do I know? Because, Ashley, I was there for years and years and years. And the more I tried to apply myself, the more exhausted I got. The more I drank alcohol, the more I smoked cigarettes, the more I ate carbohydrates, the more weight I put on. All those things, essentially, because I wasn't being essentially myself. So that's what I've learned about me.
That is beautiful. And in those ideas of really moving from a fix-it model, or a model where things are broken and we have to constantly fix, repair, you know, remodel, and all this sort of idea, is we can address what's wrong or what needs fixing and move through it and really focus a lot of our attention, a lot of our day, on what we do naturally, what comes simple, easy, with flow and grace and understanding, and really bring that out into the world so that we're able to express ourselves daily, hourly. And in that idea of that expression, what do you share with parents and children about how they can start to remodel that fix-it idea in our world, and things are broken too, things are really, there are a lot of things in life that are good, that are happening, that are well orchestrated. What is it that we can do to focus on those areas in our lives?
Well, the first thing I do is really help the parents to understand how, if we're not living to this essential free-flowing state, we're always in a state of stress. And with stress come certain symptoms, you know, things like disturbed sleep, not being able to go to sleep when you're really tired because your head's going a million miles an hour, chronic muscle tension, pain, misery, all these sorts of negative things. And it's because we're basically under threat all the time. And when we're under threat, we go into what's called the fight or flight response. And when we're in the flight or flight response, we're always working on the defensive. It's an energy draining, it's an energy requiring process and an energy draining process, you know. And so that's the first thing I help the parents with, or the people who are looking after the children. And most of them, when I'm talking about what I've gone through and what the symptoms I experience, all I ever see is nodding in agreement. And the parents say to me, never mind the kid. I'm going through this myself, you know what I mean? So it's to help them to realize, right, that if they focus on what they enjoy in life, I call the joy of living is my theme. So it's almost to take the adults back to their childhood days and try and help them to remember what they were naturally good at and what they got lost in when they were children. And at first, when I suggest this to people, they think it's some sort of a woo-woo technique. But when they remember what they used to do as children before society clobbered them with all sorts of ideas and things, when they can actually go back and remember what they got lost in, then memories start to emerge then. You know, some people get sad and some people realize just how off track they are. So if you like, Ashley, this will be called for the adult, it would be called working with the inner child. Because when the parent or caregiver can actually realize that, then they start to understand the importance of allowing the child to be free to grow themselves. You know, that the parenting job, and I'm not trying to tell people how to parent, I'm just offering suggestions here, that really I see the parents, the sort of, they've got this beautiful seed of potential, and all they really need to do is watch it carefully from a distance, just to make sure it doesn't get into too much trouble, but provide enough food and water for it to grow itself from its own core and from its own essential self.
Absolutely. And in this idea of food and feeding yourself, your joy, your innateness, and your essential, right? Your essential essence of who you are.
Yeah.
How do you support the parents in bringing that out in their children? Let's say they're a little older. Let's say they got a little conformed to school and environments, and even family values and living. And how do we kind of unwind that for teenagers and young adults?
Okay, well, the first thing I do is I show the parents what's called an opening of the heart technique. And this is the bit which is focusing on feelings first. Now, mindfulness, you can't put a thought into your mind and achieve mindfulness, because that's the problem, is our minds are overthinking and overanalyzing all the time. And people find it really difficult to get into a state of mindfulness because they confuse it with meditation. And most people say, I can't sit still long enough to do that meditation. So they almost dismiss it quite quickly. So what I show them is, rather than trying to focus on thinking, I get them to focus on a positive feeling. And so I get them to put their hands on their heart and just to press a little bit and just to breathe in as slowly and as deeply as possible. And then to breathe out, I'll explain this more in a second, and then to breathe out for the same length as they breathed in, right? And to get into this rhythm of slow, deep, gentle breathing in and slow, deep, gentle breathing out. And when the in-breath and the out-breath are the same length, what actually happens is the heart starts to work in a different way. And the studies I've done, the neuroscientific studies, have shown that when you get your breathing in harmony, your heart starts to work in harmony. It sends influences and messages back to your brain, which start to work in harmony. Your mind opens up and creates more space for new healthy options to drop in. So this is really all about creating mind space from an open and flowing and glowing heart. So that's the first thing I do, is I teach them or show them the breathing technique, because more than anything else, and I believe Buddha, I never met Buddha, I believe he was a very nice chap, or Buddha, as you might say in the USA, right? But one of his simple precepts was, just become aware of your breathing. And that's become so important to me. I'm almost always aware now of how my breathing is, because when people get stressed, they tend to tighten up, breathe from their clavicles, you know, their collarbones and their throats, and they tend to get very, very tense. So if people can become more and more aware of their body sensations, they've got a much better chance of stepping back, going into this coherence, deep breathing, settling down, and then making the choice. And so that's it, basically, in a nutshell.
That's really beautiful. Because as you settle into your breathing and you touch your hand to your heart, you actually really get that feedback and really that physical connection to your body. And a lot of times when we're, I don't know, as a child sitting at the desk, fiddling in the afternoon, wanting to finish up our homework as quickly as possible and being exacerbated about it, tired, overwhelmed, overdrawn, a lot of times we're bending over, we're not breathing, we're upset, we're frustrated, and then we don't recognize that our mind is closed, our heart is discordant, our breathing may be fast or not at all, and those kinds of activities impede us from actually completing the goal we're choosing to have.
Absolutely. You know what, Ashley? It seems so simple to me now to see this, because I do lead a very, very simple, uncomplicated life now, as much as I can. And if I feel that I'm starting to get tense and I'm starting to get stressed, I've learned now to focus on my breathing, go into this coherent, harmonic breathing, take a step back, let everything settle down, and then make my choices. Because if I make a choice based in that stress and tension, you know, I might get it right every so often, but mostly it's the wrong choice. It's something that's come out of reaction rather than response, you know. And so I always, the other thing is, when I was sort of always stressed, this is a big thing for me, is I couldn't say no to everybody. If anybody asked me at all for a favor, even before I knew what the favor was, I would say, oh, yes, of course. Right. I don't anymore. I say, this is what I say. I say, can you just give me some more time to think about it and I'll get back to you? See, I became over time a gross people pleaser. I couldn't say no. And every time I said yes, when I really meant no, another part of me was lost. And my self-worth plummeted, my self-esteem plummeted, and I just felt terrible about myself. I lacked the courage to stand up for myself, and I just slid downhill rapidly towards the end.
Right, and you know, that's such a beautiful illustration too, because for children, it's very challenging in an environment or in a society or a civilization where we honor the brain and we honor smarts and we honor mental capacity so much more than our emotional ability, our interactional ability, our relational ability with ourselves and others, that what happens is we get so over-focused in the mental area, we don't even know how to take care of the rest of ourselves. And so you bring us really to this other state of coherence where we come into alignment with our body, our intentions, our ideas, and sometimes our intentions aren't even mindful. Many of them are heartfelt, right? Yeah. Through intentions of relating, of or not relating. You know, sometimes we might be around a person that really isn't open, that really isn't available, and sometimes they might need some more space by themselves rather than getting involved with another person. And a lot of times we don't know how to say no. Or say maybe yeah. Another time.
Yeah, and this is the, I think, absolutely. For every time you say no when you mean yes, and every time you say yes when you mean no, I think another part of your vitality, another part of your soul starts to get lost, you know. And I think the most important thing is, more than anything else, is if we can just be true to ourselves. And the way I work my life now, I just go with the energy I feel. And if I'm around somebody and I feel that it's not open and flowing, I don't even have to make any excuses. I just say, no, not today. And I'll come away from that person if possible, you know. Yeah. And that's no judgment or criticism. This is a discernment based upon what my heart, my intuition, and what my energy is saying to me. Because when I was a child, Ashley, I would feel negativity about certain people. You know, and I allowed my parents to talk me out of these feelings that I had. I'm not knocking my mom and dad, because they, you know, they were doing the best that they can. But I had and sensed these feelings about negativity about other people, or, you know, I didn't resonate with who they were.
Yeah.
But I allowed other people, and I did this for such a long time, and it made me doubt my own thinking for many years. And once again, from an early age, my self-esteem started to take a knock all the way, you know, through. So what I'm saying to parents now is, if you can allow a child to be true about their feelings and try and tune in to what they're trying to communicate and go with that and allow them to be themselves at the emotional level rather than anything that the head can make up. I've got an expression now. It's that we need to metaphorically decapitate ourselves. And what I mean by that is to reset ourselves back to the heart. We basically need to take no notice of what the head's saying and just start to work from an open and flowing heart. And that, to me, is what heartful mindfulness is. It's we go with the energy first, and then we can use our brain to try and discern and refine things a bit more clearly.
You know, so beautifully shared. And what you brought up was a really wonderful distinction So in times and in family environments, a lot of times this deals with the concept of morality or values in a family system and a community system and how we relate to one another in the context of, so let's say an adult in the environment is talking out loud, being obnoxious or arrogant or really struggling with their own heart, their feelings, and their thoughts. And they're expressing that to the people in the room. And there's a child in the room. And then the child says, you know, is that talk really helpful? Is that really what we want to be talking about? You know, and then the mother comes into the room and says, you know, to little Johnny, says, Johnny, don't talk like that to an adult. That's rude. But actually what Johnny was attempting to do was be themselves, first of all.
Yeah.
And Johnny was also wanting to alert the parents and the people in the room that maybe this person acting arrogantly actually needed support and love, right?
Yeah.
And needed help, and everyone needed to discern that. So instead, what happened in this value system is that adults know right and wrong and kids don't, for example. And then also that the kid has no right, or the child has no right, to step up and speak authentically. And so what if we could have an opportunity in these times now to have the mom become aware to say, oh, Johnny is expressing upset about this adult behaving arrogantly or obnoxiously, and pointing the attention to saying to Johnny, thank you for alerting us all that, you know, Fred is having a hard time. Fred, how may we support you? How may we help you? What's happening to you or with you? Or how are you feeling in this situation of expressing anger or upset? Share with us now so that we can actually support you and work through that. Right? That's a very different conversation than telling Johnny to be quiet.
Well, yes, indeed. And my life was filled with sit down, don't say anything, you know, and speak when you're spoken to, you see. So
right.
I understand that. And as a very emotionally sensitive child, you know, I used to pick up, if you like, these vibrations and used to be very aware of what was going on. And if ever I sort of tried to alert my parents to this, I would get the, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, so be quiet and go and sit in the corner, or so on, you know. So I understand now, and this is my deeply felt feeling on this, that children, before they're clobbered by any external moral code, already have at their essential level what I call an internal moral code, that
yes,
they're born with it. And if we can, rather than close them down, if we can allow them to express themselves more and more, I'm sure that we can gain more intelligence from a child. Well, just look around, not just in America, look in the UK now. You know, this is where we're up to now with adults leading the way. I think that we've got a much better chance that if the adults step back and started to listen to the heartfulness of the child, then the world would change very, very rapidly. So I agree entirely with what you're saying. And anything that we can do as parents or carers or helpers, anything that we can do to help the child's heart expand and so that they can express themselves from their soul level, it will definitely help the planet Earth no end.
I really completely agree. And I think, you know, even as a person who supports kids and families in these environments, it really is challenging in the age groups of kids. I mean, I had reported from a mom that her son, who is six at the time, and dad were quarreling or having an argument, so to speak. And the child wanted to express his point of view, and dad wanted to not explore his point of view and wanted to shut him down. So dad started eliciting this low tone of voice and, you know, directed and commanding voice. And so he came back in the room and he said, Dad, you know, we're really the same. I'm just in my small body. And that's a remarkable comment to reestablish the relationship and the conversation and reground its centering back in the truth of ourselves. And it really is, you know, so it's very challenging to support children in this time right now in saying, okay, how could you express yourself? How could you share and help your dad listen and be attentive to what it is you're actually really trying to share versus being smart or clever or manipulative? That parents immediately have a you know, recitability in their own mind, because they might have been accused of this when they were little, that they were being manipulative. And actually, it's not a level of manipulation. It's a level of association, right? It's re-presencing what's really going on. And I think a lot of times when parents are tired, frustrated, hungry, upset, irritated, all of those different sorts of feelings, they lose their mind, right? And they where they're in denial or they're in those feelings that are so negative that they're unable to see what the child is actually really wanting to express. So your idea of coming back and being, you know, whether we're an adult or whether we're a child, getting triggered or feeling like I can't say what I want to say, or I'm in this feeling and I have no idea why I'm behaving this badly, right? Whichever point it's coming to, we can put our hand on our heart, connect with our body, breathe, become synchronous, right, with our hearts, our feelings.
Yeah.
Open our mind, clear some of that negativity so that we can be clearer in our communication, even if something bad is going down, right?
It's so important, and I think I had to own up that the way I brought my kids up, right, was based upon fear and manipulation and trying to guide them away from the mistakes that I made. I can see that as clear as anything. And I've owned up and I've sat with my kids and I've said, look, kids, I'm sorry, I didn't have a clue. And the kids said to me, it's all right, Dad, we understand, you see. So it wasn't like, you know, I was a bad person.
Right.
It was just that I was brought up in the same way that my mum and dad were brought up. And they were brought up. It's called victims of victims of victims. And I think people are becoming more and more reflective now. And because of the way the world seems to be in chaos at the moment, they're stepping back and almost saying, how can we make this world a better place? Maybe it's the way that we've been programmed or conditioned. And maybe that we can let go of this and give our children a chance to be more free, more expressive. And I think the less fearful a child is, the more creative they are. And that's obviously got to help the world. And the more children we can help to be themselves, the more the energy will sort. It's almost like it will turn the energy of the whole planet around.
Yes.
And things will start to like look up rather than plummeting down. And I honestly do feel globally there does seem to be a great shift in consciousness, where people are becoming more and more aware of the truth. They're becoming more and more aware of how they've forgotten how to play out and how they've forgotten the joy of living, how rather than focusing on the negatives and all the stuff that's on the news all the time, how the best way to get over fear is mostly to turn the television off and never read another paper for the rest of our lives, you know, and just go out into the fresh air with a ball or a stick or a hoop or something like that. Very, very simple stuff, right? And just reconnect with nature at the deepest level. Because one of my things for my recovery, which helped more than anything else, is I'm an avid sort of a runner now. Well, not really a runner, more of a sort of quick jogger, you know. And when I'm out in nature, after about 20 minutes of just shuffling along, my head opens up totally. And I sort of get the clarity that I was always looking for with drink and smoking and all these things, you see. So I try and live a relatively clean life now as best as I can. Clean food, clean water, plenty of exercise. And it's helping me immensely. And that's all I can do, Ashley. I can only say, this is where I used to be. I'm beginning to see the reasons now why I was so afraid. I'm walking through all my fears step at a time. You know, and I feel much better. I'm 65 in a couple of weeks' time. I feel like a 17-year-old, right? And, you know, I feel like I'm only every day just starting to live my life.
Yes. And it's so beautiful, right? I mean, you really inspired me to remember that over the last few months, it's just amazing. Parents are calling me and saying to me the most beautiful opportunities. They said, I would like an upgrade so I can raise my kids better. And I'm like, an upgrade? That's awesome. You mean like releasing old patterns and belief patterns and conditioning? Yes. I'm like, well, let's do it. So parents are ready. Children are ready. We're ready to start really having valuable conversations that are from our heart. That even if there's discord or discomfort or irritation or upset, that we can create an environment, a safe space inside that communication to share our true feelings in such a way that doesn't hurt other people's feelings and allows us to share some levels of conflict or discord or upset so that we can resolve. And like you said earlier, the opportunity is sometimes maybe people aren't ready to resolve. And so they need more time, maybe in nature, walking, running, jogging, playing. Right. And bringing some more of that joy in there to get clear with what some of the aspects of their conflicts are so that they can come forward to that conversation and really give it their all. And not their all in anger, but their all in an opportunity to really create that consensus with each other so we can each really play in the playground of life together.
Absolutely. I think that we've forgotten how to play out. You know, for adults, it's to reconnect with their inner child and let it play out and grow up in a natural way. And also for the children, it's to let the adult's inner child and the child, right, play together, you know. And you know, for people who are entrenched in seriousness, like I was for years, that's the problem, you know, because seriousness and gravity are linked. But lightheartedness and levity are also linked as well, you know. And
I still very do, well said.
Yeah, I still do a very serious job, but I'm very lighthearted about it now. And so, some of my more responsible people that I work with, you know, they sometimes don't like my lightheartedness. But, you know, most people do. And the most people who come to see me leave with a smile rather than sort of any negative sort of expression. The other thing is I have a phrase, you know, if there's something playing on your mind, best get it off your chest, right? And that's when, if you can find somebody who you can go along to and just express wholeheartedly the way you're feeling and just get it out onto the table, things look much differently when they're all out. Rather than when they're internalizing them all the time. So if you've got a trusted friend or colleague where you can just spill all the beans and they're not going to criticize you or give you all sorts of unhelpful advice, if they just allow you to get shut of it all, then it's almost like fresh air comes in, your heart opens up, and you start to see things in a much more clearer, lighthearted way.
That's the life of a heartful mind, isn't it?
It is. It is. And there are so many different things. You know, there's things like Tai Chi and Aikido. You know, if I had my opportunity over again, you know, I would help my children to go some sort of Aikido because it's based on respect for yourself and respect for other people. And if you get too big for your boots in Aikido, what they do is they don't give you a certificate to put onto the wall. They give you the brush to go and tidy out the locker room, you see. And that's just to help you to keep your feet on the ground. So grounding's important. Taking your shoes off, running along the sand on the beach, or running in the woods, or running on grass, all those things to help you to connect the circuit from heaven to earth. That's how my feeling is, that we can help kids, we can help ourselves to get a clearer picture of what's going on.
We sure can. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing with us today all of those opportunities to really dive in to connecting our mind, clearing our mind, connecting it to our body, our heart, and really letting the deepest truths of ourselves come through and express in our everyday lives.
Yeah. No, thank you for giving me the opportunity. It's always lovely to talk to you, actually.
Oh, it's wonderful to talk to you. And thank you. And how can people get a hold of you if they're interested in, you know, understanding more about all the beautiful things you're bringing forward into the world?
Well, I'm still quite heavily involved in my academic job, so I can't really do one-to-one stuff. But I do have a website, which I'm renewing at the moment. It's drjoedelaney.com.
Beautiful.
So that's drjoedelaney.com. There's some links on there. I have a YouTube channel as well.
Yes, and a Facebook page.
And a Facebook page, you know. But as I say, I find it difficult to reply to everybody who sends me stuff. So it's not because I'm a bad person. It's just because I'm dead busy.
Well, you're busy in all the right directions of really creating love and joy and bringing that ease and flow back into our lives. And I so appreciate all the genres of support you bring to the world. And we really do. We're here as living examples to say to our audience and all of you listening to this podcast is really know, find your inner joy. Really, spend some time exploring that and sharing that with the world as we are doing today. Is it's really important. What you bring to the world is special, amazing, and absolutely fantastic. And we want to hear about it. We want to see you in the world. Thank you, Dr. Joe, for joining us today. It was beautiful, everyone. Have a beautiful day. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. We are so grateful for you tuning in and experiencing the innovations and opportunities we all can incorporate into our daily lives. Connect with us at centerforconscious.com to sign up for the latest news that showcases these revolutionary services and products. Our global website provides families with an online conduit for enrichment and transformation in all our lives. Please share with other kids and families who would enjoy these advancements in living consciously. I'm Ashley Lee, and I thank you so much for joining us.